Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
The hazards of sailing the oceans in small craft is the possibility of striking a whale on the surface. Such a collision, even at a moderate 7 or 8 knots, can mean disaster, as was the case in the Cape Turio race a few years back. Bad luck indeed. The worst of luck, in fact. But no one has ever suggested that the whale deliberately attacked the boat. Sharks have done so frequently, as many a ski boat fisherman will tell you, but not whales. Whales are unaggressive creatures for the most part, only asking to be let alone. But are they? Some would say different. Captain Pollock, for instance, master of the whaling schooner Essex back in the year 1820. Captain Pollock's ship was a small but well found, and in that year, as in many previous ones, she was seeking her prey in her regular South Pacific cruising grounds. The harpoons of her small boats had found their mark in several of these majestic leviathans of the sea, and although whales seemed scarcer than in previous seasons, the captain and crew of Essex were confident of a rewarding voyage, until... But that's the subject of our story tonight. A story I call The Whale That Turned.
Seems to me we're still too far to the northward, Mr. Chase. Whales are few and far between.
Well, Captain, all I can say is we've never had to go so far south before.
Well, say what you like, but whales aren't stupid. They know well enough by now they're being hunted.
Oh, yeah.
Every season, they head further south.
If what you say is true, Captain, the time will come when we have to go right into the ice for a decent catch.
There you go!
Oh, that's young Ned Coffin. Good eyes he has.
Where away?
Dead ahead, Captain.
He's right. There she blows. And another. There on the port bow.
Where there's two, there's more.
Look, another.
Looks like we're into him at last.
Yeah. All right, lads. That's a school there, Ed. Yeah. So let's get the boats out. But easy does it. Now, let's take it quiet and easy before we scare them up.
Mr. Chase, now you take the second.
Aye, Captain.
Seth Davis, all right, you're with me. Let's have you, lads.
Tom Chappell, get your lads into number three. I'll take number one myself.
Aye, aye, sir.
Now just remember, quiet in the boats and approach them slow. Good luck all.
Easy on them oars, lads. He's up, Seth.
Oh, right.
We should be right in the middle of them.
Not one in sight, sir. They've towed it, every last one.
They smell just come in. You can take it quiet and easy as you please. They still know you're after them.
They'll be up again. Clear that harpoon line, right? Or you'll be overboard with it.
Don't worry, sir. I've got my eye on it. I've seen a man's leg taken off with a harpoon line. Remember Rob Daniels, sir?
Oh, that I do.
Aye, that's what happened to him. The whale sounded just as he took the harpoon. Out went the line and Rob with it. But we got him back aboard. His leg had been taken off just below the knee, clean as ocean.
That could have been a shark of that, Will.
Aye, it could have been, but it wasn't. Rob himself said afterwards.
There she blows! Take her, sir!
Back, oars! All right, lads! Steady! Oh. A snake, sir! You got him!
Sounding! Where's the sail?
Pull on those oars! In your backs! Look out! She's on us!
Up, oars! Get your oars up! Clear of the water!
Watch the line! Watch the line!
Oh, no! She's caught us, sir! We've sprung a flag!
coming, ships.
Up that leak.
Waters! Waters coming in fast!
Cut the harpoon lines!
Taking
us! Did you see the size of her? I never saw one bigger.
Never mind the whale. Stop that leak and get the bailers out.
Back to
the ship, lads. Yeah. And if you want to see her dick again, you better row. Row for your life.
Yeah, who's that boat, Seth?
I patch her up as best I can.
Yeah.
Well, she should be watertight, but she won't take another knock like the one we had. Mm. It was a tail that hit us, sir. Did you see the size of it?
Aye, it was a big one, all right.
Aye.
Lucky it was a glancing blow. If we'd been caught fair and square, we wouldn't be here now.
It was a monster. 90 feet if it was an inch. Oh, that's one I wouldn't like to meet again. Reckon we were well rid of her.
Aye.
Port into one, sir. Away there, to port.
Oh, so he is.
Tom Chappell's with him at the other boat. Looks like they're into the same whale.
Well, we better follow them up.
Helms on.
Are the port.
Aye, sir. Are the port it is.
Follow up the captain's boat, Ned. But keep well clear. Bring around to windward of them.
Aye, sir.
Whale on the starboard bow, sir.
Where are we?
About half a cable's length ahead. Oh. It's towards us, eh?
I see her, sir. It's the same one. The one we went into. Oh. That's your harpoon in her neck. See it sticking
up? Oh, yeah.
Aye, Will's right, sir. Oh, look at the size of that thing. Must be 90 feet. And look at the way it's lying there watching us. Oh. Never see a whale do that before.
I can't say I have.
It's a sitting duck the way it's lying there. Yeah. Shall we have another go at it, sir?
Not with this boat, Will. Oh, not with any boat for my money. When they come that size, they're best left alone.
It's closer in. It's coming towards us.
And still looking at us. Oh. What do you suppose is in that creature's mind?
I don't know, Seth, but I don't like it. Sperm whales very seldom attack, but
it's never moving faster. It could almost be coming for us.
It is coming for us. Look alive, sir. It's heading straight for our bow.
Out the port, Ned. Get the helm over.
Oh, reckon we're too late, Seth.
She's on us.
If we're not, it'll be a miracle. That beast rammed us, sir. Did you ever see the like of it?
Right. Get below and see what the damage is.
Aye.
All hands to the pump.
Aye.
Where's that whale, Seth? Has it sounded?
Never a chance, sir. It's over there to starboard.
Well, if it comes for us again, we'll be finished.
What's the signal for Captain Pollard?
Emergency. Return immediately.
We've got the starboard, sir.
Pull up, girl! Who's out there?
No good, sir! She's on her!
The second blow the ship received from the enraged monster brought her up violently. It was as though the Essex had struck an iceberg. Moreover, the construction of a whale's head with its eyes and ears far back enabled it to carry out these attacks with more damage to the ship than itself. After the second attack, it passed under the ship and disappeared. But by the time Captain Pollock and those on the other boats reached their mother ship, despite the frantic efforts of those at the pumps, she was steadily sinking lower and lower in the water.
Are you telling me a whale who did this to her? It's not possible.
We all saw it, Captain.
I can't.
Twice it came for us. Rammed us fair and square in the bow. Monster it was, sir.
We're seen on both sides up for it. Don't know how long she'll last.
Hey, well, listen, lads. We've got to keep afloat as long as possible. All we can do is cut away the masts. Well, that'll help us to lift her out of the water a bit.
If we cut away the mast, that's the end of us. We're finished.
Oh, it's our only chance. Now, come on, lads, get the mast off her.
No use drinking patch, Mr. Chase. Whatever we do, she's finished.
That means we'll have to take to the boat, sir.
And you know what that means.
I do.
Well, let's take a look at the chart. The nearest mainland is the coast of South America. Say, more than 1,000 miles from where we are at this moment.
There's islands a good deal nearer. The Marquesas, the Society Islands.
Headhunters, cannibals. Whole ships' crews have been slaughtered in those islands. Are you prepared to take that risk?
I don't know, Captain. It's our decision to make. Well, that's the mainmast away.
Aye. And it's eased the list. At least we can get below now for stores.
There's a limit to what the boats will take in stores, sir. Might be safer to make for the islands.
Well, we'll put it to the vote. Let the men decide.
Oh, aye.
In the meantime, get the boats out alongside and load it up.
Aye, aye.
And don't forget the ship's log.
Oh, no.
I'll make the final entry myself. Abandoned ship, rammed and sunk by a whale.
Much longer, Seth. Her decks are almost awash.
Aye.
Why don't we shove off?
Captain Borden his boat any moment now.
Mr. Chappell, have you checked your stores?
Aye, sir. 65 gallons of water, 400 pounds of bread, ship's biscuit.
You, Mr. Chase?
Aye, sir. We have the same. And 2 live turtles.
Very well. Now remember, all boats keep together. By your decision, we head northwest for the nearest island, the Marquesas. Now get ready to cast off. Good luck, all!
Hey, Will, where's young Ned Coffin? Do you see him?
He should be in the captain's boat.
No, well, he's not. He's not in Tom Chappell's boat either.
Must be still aboard.
Is he crazy?
Aye, with fear, I reckon. Swore he'd never take to the boats. I thought it was just talk, but seems he meant it.
Right, cast off and let's get some sail on her.
Wait, sir, hold on. Young Ned Coffin's still aboard. I'll have to fetch him.
Stay right where you are, Seth. That ship could go down any minute. If Ned's aboard, it's his own lookout.
Wait, sir, please. He's only a youngster, 18, and too scared to leave the ship. Just hold the boat for me. I'll get him.
What do you say, lads? We hold on for Seth to fetch Ned Coffin.
All right,
Seth, I'll give you 3 minutes. If you're not back with Ned Coffin by then, this boat sails without you.
Ned! Ned, where are you? Are you in the cuddy? Ned! You hear me?
Seth? Is that you, Seth?
Oh. I can hardly see down here. Where are you?
Here, on the boat. Oh, I'm glad you stayed, Seth. I'm glad you didn't go with them.
What are you talking about? I've come back by you. Now, the boat's standing by.
No, Seth. I'm not going.
What?
I've made up my mind. I'm not going in an open boat. I'd rather stay aboard. Take my chance.
You haven't got any chance if you stay aboard. The ship's going down, don't you understand? Now, you'll go down with it. You'll drown. Now, is that what you want?
Sooner that than what'll happen to you. So all of you in the boats. You'll never reach land. You'll go mad with the sun and the thirst. Not for me, Seth. I'm staying where I am. At least this way it'll be quick.
Now listen, lad. When you joined the ship, I promised your mother...
I don't care what you promised. Every man's entitled to make his own choice. And I've made mine.
Not this time, lad. You're not old enough to make a choice.
Chappell, are you?
That you, Will? Come here, give me a hand.
Yeah, I thought you might need one. That's why I came after you.
Yeah, bless you for that, Will. Take the lad's legs. We'll have to carry him.
What's the matter with him? Is he sick?
No, I had to put him out. He said he'd rather go down with a ship than die of thirst in an open boat.
Could be his right to that, sir.
I made this in store for all of us. In the meantime, let's get into the boat, eh? Ready?
Aye.
Aye, well, let's go, then. And if it's the wrong thing... May heaven forgive me. I doubt the lad ever will.
Only a matter of minutes after Daniel Chase had cast off his boat, the Essex sank. Her 3 boats hoisted sail and set course for the Marquesas. For a week the breeze held, and then it failed them. The sea was like a mill pond as the 3 boats came together and lay motionless beneath the burning heat of the sun.
Will you make our position, Mr. Chase? We're still a long way south of the Marquesas, by my reckoning.
Aye, sir, but there's nearer islands than that. Maybe we should head west and take our chance with headhunters and cannibals.
We know the Marquesas are safe. And as long as we have food and water...
Captain, sir, I've just been testing the water and the rest of our kegs. It's gone brack on us.
Same with our kegs, sir. They must be crusted with salt water.
Oh, that means all the kegs are tainted.
Yours as well, sir.
Well, I don't doubt you're right.
Listen, lads. There's no point in arguing who's responsible for how this came about. It's done, and that's that.
How long can we last without water, Captain? It's the end of us.
Don't you believe it. We haven't sailed all this way to throw in our hands and die in mid-ocean.
We'll die first. I told you, sir. I told you.
You'll die all right if you try drinking that black water. Now, don't be tempted. Don't touch it. Now, just listen to me for a moment. This calm could well be the prelude to a storm, and that means rain. Now, get the sails made up into tubs. Have the bailing buckets ready to catch every drop and store it. In the meantime, one turtle will be killed in each boat and divided evenly, one share to each man. That'll help to ease your thirst. All right, lads, keep your spirits up. We're not done yet. Not by a long way.
I hand it to you, Seth, my old shipmate. Who would have thought of making a fire in the turtle shell and cooking the turtle on it, eh? Would you have thought of that, Ned?
Roast turtle by moonlight.
I told you what would happen, sir. I told you. Why didn't you leave me aboard like I wanted? Why did you have to do what you did?
Oh, Ned, if you don't stow it by heaven, I swear.
Ned, look! The moon's cloudy over.
Hey!
Those are rain clouds.
Oh.
There's a storm coming up. There, can you feel that, lads? Rain!
Ray, rid the sails!
Aye.
Get those tubs out, lads! Tins, bailers, everything you've got!
Ah, there you are, Ned. Now, what did the captain say? Rain! And after the rain, wind. A breeze. Now, grab that bucket, boy, and jump to it. Captain was right. We're not finished yet. Not by a long talk.
Rain fell again at intervals in the week that followed, and fitful winds allowed the boats some progress. But by December the 14th, the rain clouds had vanished as swiftly as they came. The water supply so carefully gathered dwindled to nothing. And then, 6 days later, they sighted an island. A light breeze carried the boats to the sandy shores of a bay, and scarcely able to believe their good fortune, the men of the ill-fated Essex summoned their last reserves of strength to drag themselves ashore.
Did you find a spring over there, Seth? Is the water fresh?
The water? That fresh, sir. But not even a trickle. It's giving about one drop every half minute.
Well, if it's fresh water, the spring must be running somewhere.
Aye.
Now look for it. Never mind anything else. If we don't find it, we might as well have stayed in the boats.
There's birds, sir. Nesting up there in the rocks. They wouldn't nest there if there weren't water.
Captain, sir, look at this. The sand's wet over here.
That means nothing, Tom.
Let's blow the high tide, man.
Aye, sir, so it may be, but the tide's right out. And it's still damp all round here.
Ramsdale, fetch a spade. There's one in my boat.
We don't need no spade, sir. Handles do. Look, there's water just beneath the surface. Now this hole is filling up already.
We're saved, lads. It's water. Fresh water.
All right. Easy does it. You won't die of thirst in another 10 minutes. A line up there. Let every man take his turn. Now drink your fill, and then to the boats with you. Bring the tubs, the buckets, the turtle shells, everything you can lay your hands on. Let's get them filled before the tide comes up.
You mean the spring is drying up, Mr. Chase? Are you sure about that?
There's no doubt, I'm afraid, sir. All the kegs we scoured and cleaned out, there are only half of them full.
Ah, that's a pity. Still, that gives us water for about 15 days.
Aye, and the lads have been collecting eggs and smoking fish. With what's left of our original stores, we should survive for 2 weeks, but not much longer.
Well, as near as I can judge, this island lies about 400 miles west of Easter Island. If this wind holds, we could be there in under a week. I think that's our best chance.
Aye, sir. I'd say you're right.
The spring's drying right up, Captain. Not even a trickle now.
That doesn't leave us any choice at all, sir. We could stay and hope for a boat to pick us up, but not without water. At least we'll find plenty of that on Easter Island.
Well, get the men to the boats, then. Let's make the most of this westerly breeze while we've got it.
Aye, aye, sir.
All right, lads. Into the boats. It's Easter Island for us.
whether we like it or not.
Excuse me, Captain, sir.
Well, sir?
Worse.
It's young Ned Coffin, sir. We've been searching the island for him, me and Will Wright.
We can't find him, sir.
Huh?
It's our belief he's hidden himself.
Young Coffin again. First he won't leave the ship when she's sinking under him, and now he won't leave the island when it's run dry of water. Well, we can't delay any longer. If he wants to stay here and starve, it's up to him.
Well, we won't delay you, Captain. Me and Will's decided we can't leave the lad here alone, so we'll stay behind with him.
Are you both out of your minds? There's no water. That spring is dried up.
We reckon if there's one spring, there must be others with enough water for three of us.
We reckon with the crabs and fish and seafowl, we'll manage to keep going, but the young Ned won't have much chance on his own.
Never desert a shipmate, eh? Well, if your minds are made up, I won't try and talk you out of it. After all, who knows? You may be the lucky ones.
Don't forget about us, Captain, if you get through.
I won't. Good luck to you, lads.
All right, Mr. Chase. Stand by to shove off when you're ready.
Aye, aye, sir. Stand by to shove off.
You can still change your mind, Will. I promise to stay with young Ned. That doesn't mean you have to.
Maybe shipmates are easier, Seth. If you stay, I stay. Well, there I go. If this wind holds, it should make Easter Island within the week.
Aye. And if it doesn't, it's a toss-up who'll last the longer. Then, or us.
It's young Ned.
Stop the boat,
he says. The crazy fool, he wasn't hiding at all.
Yes, he was, Will. It's not that, it's something else.
Sir, stop them. You've got to stop them.
Too late now, lad. They'll be around the point in half a minute.
Why didn't they wait? 5 minutes would have been enough.
Why, Ned? What is it? What have you found?
Water in a cave. A freshwater spring coming up through the rock. Enough for all, as long as we'll ever need it. Oh, is there no way we can get them back?
No, lad. For better or worse, they made their choice. We made ours. The luck was with us, that's all.
Come, lads. There's work to be done. We've a long wait.
Three months later, the castaway sighted a sail. In answer to their signals, a boat was sent ashore and they were taken from the island that had supported them so faithfully. Of the others, Captain Pollock's boat and that of Daniel Chase were found becalmed and picked up by a passing ship. Their promised wind had failed them and only a handful survived. The third boat, under Tom Chapel, was never seen again. So ends the story of the ill-fated Essex and the whale that turned.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botner.